Okay, good morning, everyone. Let's begin. Okay. I feel bad starting this year. Everyone seems like they're having such a good time. I don't wanna. So we're going to continue a little bit this week in Perek Lamed Vav, chapter 36 in Tehillim. So just to reorient ourselves a little bit, remember we spent last year really solely focusing on the opening phrase of the capital, Avlam Natseach Le'Eved Hashem LeDavid. And we focused on the idea that David HaMelech was referring to himself as an Eved Hashem, and we spent this year, last time, trying to develop what exactly it means to be an Eved Hashem, what that classification means, what the criteria are, and ultimately how one reaches this lofty level. What we're going to do today is focus on one pasuk, one more pasuk in this capital, and that's the pasuk in Pasuk Ches, verse 8, where David HaMelech writes, or said, Ma yakar chastacha Elokim, how precious is your kindness, Hashem, uvenei adam betzel knafecha yechesayun. And man takes shelter in the shadow of your wings. So I don't know why, but for some reason, this pasuk caught my attention. I'll tell you why it caught my attention. See, the word yakar is an interesting word. The word yakar could mean? Precious. Good. All right. Or yakar could also mean? Difficult. Or?
Costly.
Now, what's interesting is the following. If you interpret the word maya kar chastacha Elokim simply as being how precious is your chesed, we understand that very simple idea that David HaMelech is saying the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so beautiful. If, on the other hand, yakar means precious, expensive, difficult, then of course, again, this pasuk is exceptionally strange. So for some reason, I've seen this capital a few times, but this caught my eye, and so we're going to explore this pasuk a little bit. What sentiment is David HaMelech trying to express here? And we're going to see a number of very dramatic themes that come out. Let's begin with number two, the Radak. The Radak writes, Maya kar chastacha Elokim, how precious, we'll just go with precious right now until the other Mefarshim redefine it, but how precious is your chesed Hashem? Amar, ha-chesed she-tishvau bo lepamim ha-tovim va-aroim hu ba-olam hazeh. The Radak says, what a reality, and perhaps one of the most difficult realities in this world, is the concept of Rasha v'tovlo. Is the concept that a person could do bad things and could be totally fine. More than just totally fine, a person could succeed incredibly. A person could seem to live a blessed life filled with all types of material, beautiful life blessing. So the Radak says the idea that divine kindness, divine chesed, is visited upon even those who do not deserve it, is only a concept in this world. Aval b'chesed ha'olam haba, lo yihye l'ra'im chelek bo, Elo kulo litovim. But in the world to come, divine chesed will not be shared with those who are undeserving, but rather only with those who are kulo tovim, only with those who are fully good. V'ha-chesed ha-hu yakar v'nechbad mechesed ha-olam hazeh shehu tov over. And the highest form, the most precious form of divine kindness, is the divine kindness reserved for the world to come. That's unique. Why? Because the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows upon us in the afterlife, in the world to come, is eternal. As opposed to the chesed, the kindness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows upon us in this world, which is temporal. Temporal, it's fleeting. Therefore, again, va'oso ha-chesed hu-atov ha-kayim va-nitzchi. So the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows upon us in the world to come ultimately endures for all eternity. Endures for all eternity. V'zeu she'amar, says Radak, this is the meaning of the pasuk. Ma yakar chasticha Elokim. How precious is your chesed Hashem. Umilas ma hi lahagdala. The word ma, which we translate as how, is a word that is there to introduce something that is great. Kimo maratufcha asher tzafanta l're'echa, l'chesed ha'olam hazeh amar ad shemayim chastecha, aval chesed ha'olam haba, Ein lo shir. So therefore, again, says Radak, ma yakar chastecha, Kodesh Baruch Hu, how great and how precious is your chesed? Which chesed? not the chesed of this world, because the chesed of this world, first of all, is visited upon all kinds of people, right? Not only the righteous, not only the good are the beneficiaries of divine kindness in this world, but even the wicked sometimes are the beneficiaries of that kindness. But in the world to come, about chesed ha'olam haba, the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bestow upon us in the afterlife, that's ein lo shir. That has no measure. Kimo sh'amar ha'navi, ein lo ra'asa elokim zula secha. Remember that pasuk from Yeshaya, ein lo ra'asa elokim zula secha, is the Gemara understands that pasuk to mean literally an eye has never seen it aside from you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's interesting, there's a dispute in the Gemara as to what that pasuk is referring to. The Navi Yeshaya is referring to something that is so great, so amazing, that no one has any conception of it except God. So one opinion, the Gemara says, that refers to Yemos HaMashiach, the Messianic era. The other opinion holds that now it refers to what we call Olam Haba. Now, by the way, just so you should know, as an aside, even the word Olam Haba is used different ways in different contexts. Sometimes Olam Haba refers to the Messianic era. Sometimes Olam Haba refers to what we'll call, I guess, the afterlife, the Olam HaEmes, Gan Eden. So the point over here, but what the Radak is referring to over here is not Messianic era. What the Radak is referring to over here is what we call Olam Haba, Gan Eden, the afterlife. And therefore, the Radak goes on. He says that the whole idea, Mayakar Chastecha Elokim, how precious is your chesed. According to the Radak, what's underlying this phrase is the following. One of the things that frustrates David HaMelech more than anything is the fact that his enemies and his detractors seem to succeed. Right? So if you're David HaMelech, you're trying to do what's right. It's true, you make some mistakes. We all make some mistakes. But remember, I often say about David HaMelech, the amazing part is you could count the mistakes of David HaMelech on one hand. Most of us make more mistakes in an hour than David HaMelech made in a lifetime. So if you're David HaMelech, you're wondering to yourself, and this is a natural reaction, and the truth is it's very validating because very often we struggle with this same thing as well. I'm trying to do Ribono Shel Olam everything you ask of me. I'm trying to do everything correctly. And yet there are others in this world who don't do what is asked of them, and yet what? They seem to succeed so incredibly well. They seem happy. They seem relaxed. They're not stressed on an Erev Shabbos, on an Erev Yontiv, right? Everything is wonderful. Their families seem to be okay. They don't have any struggles. And life seems to be going beautifully for them. And yet me, David HaMelech says, I have all kinds of struggles. To which, and here's the amazing part. You know, it's very important. I mentioned this to my Ma'alot class. We were looking at the section on Shemini of Vayidom Aaron, that after Aaron goes ahead and loses his sons, so the reaction he has is he's quiet. So the whole Mefarshim go all over the place discussing what does it mean he's silent. It doesn't mean just mean he's quiet, he's silent. And the Rabbeinu Bechai says something like this. Rabbeinu Bechai says, Ki mishpat ha'avelo si shtika. So the Rabbeinu Bechai says that part of mourning is silence. So everyone thinks that means you have to accept. That's not what Rabbeinu Bechai is saying. What Rabbeinu Bechai is saying is that sometimes when you have a difficult situation in life, very often, you know, when we encounter a difficulty, we react. And we all know that when you react in the midst of crisis, often it's not the right reaction. Instead, what Aaron Cohen is teaching us is that when you are faced with difficult circumstances, you know what you have to do? Be quiet. Why be quiet? Think it through. Process. Sometimes we make the greatest mistakes in life when we talk without thinking, when we act without thinking. So if you're faced in a difficult situation, first thing to do is stop, vayidom, quiet, and process. Think it through. And the amazing part is that we'll find that if you take the time to think through your life issues, you find something amazing, which is you can actually solve your own problems. Now, what's amazing, because we live in a society that is very much like, if I got a problem, right, make a call. Now, nothing wrong with making a call, whether you're making that call to your therapist, you're making the call to your rabbi, you're making the call to your friend, those are all very good things. But I would just humbly suggest that before a person makes the call, take a moment, vayidom, think about it, think it through yourself, and figure out if you could potentially problem solve this particular situation. That was vayidom, and this is the amazing part about Tehillim. The amazing part about Tehillim is this, to a certain degree, much of Tehillim is David HaMelech's personal therapy. It's David HaMelech going ahead and saying, here's my problem, let me talk it out. Who is he talking it out with? So the truth is, sometimes he's talking about the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but more often than not, he's talking it out with himself. So here's something amazing. So the Radak says, David HaMelech says, I've got a real problem. David, what's your problem? I'll tell you what the problem is. Right? The problem is like this, that life is not fair. Life is not fair. Why is it that I do every single thing right? I do all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of me. And again, I don't begrudge anyone else having blessing, but it seems a little bit, as they say, zelo fair, when I'm doing everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of me, and yet, again, there are others around me who are making my life miserable, who are actively doing bad stuff, and yet they seem to succeed. So why is that? To which David HaMelech then goes on to answer his own questions. The truth is, all I'm looking at is life in this world. And the truth is, yes, there is Rasha v'tovlo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows good even upon what appear to be undeserving people. Now you could ask, it's not a topic for today, but if it were, you would ask, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestow blessing upon undeserving people? And the answer really is because there's no such thing in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as an undeserving person. Every single person has some merits. Every single person has some good. You know, there's the famous maysa. Maybe I told it to you. There's a famous maysa of a man once came over to Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev, and he said, Rebbe, the Torah's false. Torah's false. So Rabbi Levi had a wonderful disposition and loved every single Jew. So he said, okay, why do you say the Torah's false? Because he said, well, it says in Shema, V'hayayim shamoa tishmu'el mitzvosai, if you listen to the mitzvos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then God will reward you with incredible bounty and incredible blessing. And the man said to Rabbi Levi Yitzchak, he says, I don't keep anything. I don't observe anything. And yet I'm fabulously wealthy and life is wonderful and every blessing one could possibly imagine. To which the Rebbe responded, the fact that you can go ahead and ask that question means that you've read Kriya Shema at least one time in your life. And there's not enough money in the world to pay you for the beauty of that mitzvah. The idea is that everyone has something. Everyone has something, some less, some more. And the Ribbono Shel Olam has ways of repaying different people for even the little bit of good that they've amassed over the course of their lifetime. So David HaMelech now works this through and he says, you're right, you know what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows blessing upon people that appear to me to be undeserving. But first of all, that's only what it appears to me. I don't know everything. I don't know the whole picture. It's only my understanding of the circumstances. That's number one. And number two, the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showers upon a person in this world is finite, temporal chesed. But here's what I do know. I know that there's going to come a time after 120 where I'm going to reap the full benefit of my deeds. And when that happens, the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showers upon me is going to be eternal, is going to be infinite, is going to go on and on and on. And therefore, again, as we've seen from David HaMelech multiple times, to be a good Jew, you require one very important, we require many good midos, but one very important mida, perhaps the most important mida, is patience. Person has to be exceptionally patient because the Ribbono Shel Olam comes through, just not always on our timeline, sometimes not even during our lifetime. But the Ribbono Shel Olam always comes through for us in some way. Therefore, David HaMelech says, I've always struggled with why HaKadosh Baruch Hu showers chesed upon everyone, but then I realize, Mayakar Chastecha Elokim. I realize I'm going to be the beneficiary of that chesed, of your kindness, of the most precious kind of kindness. And what's the most precious kind of kindness, the most precious form, is not the kindness that man experiences in this world, but rather the kindness that man experiences in the world to come. And the Radak finishes off, he says, Ubnei Adam, Betzel Knafecha Yechasayim. Remember, how does the pasuk end? Man takes shelter in the shadow of your wings. He says, Ba'olam haba, Yechasun b'tzel k'nafecha, osam shehim b'nei adam be'emes. So what's going to be the reward? What does this eternal chesed, look like? Meaning, what is this precious chesed? The most precious chesed we enjoy is b'tzel k'nafecha yechasayim. That there'll come a day when literally we will sit in the shadow of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wings. Closeness to God. Remember again, the Rambam describes Olam Haba as tzadikim yoshvim va'ataroseim barasheim, the righteous sit with their crowns on their head, v'nehanim miziv hashchina, and they benefit from the divine glory. So the idea, so first of all, this is interesting by itself, because, you know, for some people, they say, really? Like, that's Olam Haba? That's it? I was kind of thinking like a lap pool or something, you know? So it is important, by the way, that Olam Haba is only a meaningful reward if you lead a meaningful life in this world, if my life here is about coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then an eternity basking in the presence of God is exceptional. However, again, if that's not what my life is about in this world, then the truth is an eternity basking in the presence of God, that sounds like ongoing school without recess. You know, what does that mean? So it's very important. Olam Haba only holds promise if you've maximized your Olam Hazeh. If Olam Hazeh is just simply pleasure-seeking and just simply about enjoying, then Olam Haba provides very little promise. But for David HaMelech, ultimately, again, who's spending his lifetime trying to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the notion that although chesed in this world seems to be applied unequally, although it seems to be that it's given ultimately to those who probably do not deserve it, but in the world to come, I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to get, so to speak, what I deserve. And as a result, and what do I deserve? I think I deserve, to be able to sit in your presence, and I know that precious chesed will be given to me after 120. So let's go on. That's the Radak. So again, according to the Radak, Mayakar Chastchav, David HaMelech struggling with essentially why chesed is bestowed upon the wicked in this world, recognizing that the chesed in this world is only temporal, is finite. Therefore, again, I know that I will benefit from the ultimate chesed, the most precious of chesed, which is eternal chesed in the world to come. Just say as an aside, you know, this Radak is beautiful. The problem, of course, is, you know, in Judaism we have an incredible tension. And the tension is that we believe, of course, in Olam Haba. So according to the Rambam, it's one of the Ikrei Emunah, it's one of the 13 principles, one of the pillars of faith. But the problem is we are a very non-world-to-come-centric religion. What do I mean? That there are other religions. And the truth is, you know, radical Islam has brought this to the front, where it's all about dying and going to the afterlife. Even Christianity is very much like that, where it's all about, you know, it's all about the afterlife. The truth is, in Judaism, if you notice, right, how much of the Torah is devoted to discussing Olam Haba? Nothing. In fact, there may be one or two, three at most, you know, nuanced allusions to something about the world to come, Mashiach. We are a very life-centric, this world-centric religion. Because the danger, of course, of becoming too death-focused, the danger of becoming too world-to-come focused is that a person cheapens the experience in Olam Hazeh, in this particular world. Thank you very much. Thank you. So a person becomes a little bit too... So I'm just pointing this out because the Radak is beautiful, and the Radak, of course, is correct. It's the Radak. But at the end of the day, we're looking also for something that's a little bit more, for lack of a better term, lemaiso, or practical in this world. So take a look at the Malbim, number three. The Malbim writes, Mayakar, Ataba lahashiv neged taina hashenis shal hapesha, shetoin she'ina motzi b'sichlot ham lemitzvas Hashem, Umadua yisne es ha'avon. See, here's what's interesting. So the Malbim understands this pasuk in a much greater context, which we're not going to get into right now. But the Malbim understands that part of what David HaMelech is trying to accomplish in this kapitel is he's trying to make a case for Avodas Hashem, which makes sense based on what we learned last week. In the beginning of the kapitel, he introduces himself as an Eved Hashem. So an Eved Hashem is one who serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the obvious question is why? Why should I serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Can you be a good person even if you're not an Eved Hashem? I would venture to say you could. There are plenty of moral and ethical people who are even atheists, right? That people don't believe in God at all. Again, it's true. The problem, of course, is what defines your moral compass, right? How do you define morality? How do you draw your line between right and wrong? But there, I would venture to say there are atheists that have a portion of Olam Haba, as strange as that sounds, right? Don't tell them that, right? But the idea being that there are some people who don't know any better. Some people, this is what they're brought up with, or these are the ideologies that they're influenced by, but they try their best to be good people. I think the Ribono Shel Olam absolutely appreciates that. You don't have to be Jewish. You don't even have to be observant. In order to be able to find favor in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to be genuine, and you have to do it to the best of your ability. So one could ask a very serious question. Like, so why do I need to be an Oved Hashem? Why can't I just be a good person? Why do I have to be an Oved Hashem? Why do I have to follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvos? Why do I do that? Why do I have to do that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands of me? And the truth is, why do I have to distance myself from a lot of the things that God, quote unquote, calls sinful? There are some things, obviously, that are objectively sinful. Theft, immorality, murder. Those are things that societies in general accepted as being immoral. But I'm talking about more nuanced things. Shatnez, kashrus, right? Why do I have to distance myself from these things in order to be a good person? So David HaMel says the Malbim is addressing this, and he tells us something amazing. He tells us, now by the way, the first answer to that question is, why do you have to do all these things to be a true Avid Hashem, to be a good person? Right, so the simple answer, that's what the Kadosh Baruch Hu told us to do. Right, meaning that the simple answer, of course, is that's faith. That's faith. And the truth is, it's very important, you cannot rationally explain faith. This is very important. I was never a big fan of these seminars or the books that try to reconcile that you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu really did this, you could prove it scientifically, mathematically. For some people, it's very helpful. I always feel however much you could prove, it's always going to come up deficient. Because at the end of the day, you cannot fully rationally explain or identify God or reasons for what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us. And there's a good reason for that. Because if you could rationally define faith, then guess what? Then it's not faith. Then it's not faith. The greatness of emunah is that it requires me to take a leap beyond my intellect. See, nobody has to convince me to believe in gravity because there's gravity. There's gravity, right? I don't need to believe in it. It's a fact. So things that are facts, either you could be intellectually ignorant and pretend like they don't exist or be lack of knowledge, but when it comes to emunah, that's the whole point. See, people think that the inability to conclusively prove that a Kadosh Baruch Hu exists scientifically or mathematically is a lack. It's not a lack. That's what makes it great. The fact that we believe it means that we're willing to transcend the intellect and we're willing to believe in something that our rational mind cannot explain. That being said, the Malbim is going to offer another approach. He goes on, he says, Biyichod berov hamitzvot shevein adam lamakom, shapesha toin aleihem ma betzer b'maseihem eila, u'ma hefzer b'anachasam. So the Malbim says, specifically, the question often is not as much as bein adam l'chavero. Because the truth is, in the realm of bein adam l'chavero, the commandments that we have are actually very logical and very rational. They make a lot of sense, which is why you find many religions that mirror the same interpersonal code of conduct that Judaism has. Because again, our mitzvos, our bein adam l'chavero, are very logical, very rational. The Imam's asking, one of them bein adam l'makom. Why do I have to do these things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks me to do? What does it matter? If God is truly omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, then what does it matter what I do or what I don't do vis-a-vis God? And look at the Malbim writes. Azeh Meshif, listen to how beautiful this is. Ki ha'adam miyuchad bazeh mikol nivrei ha'adam. Man is different than all of the other creations in this world. Shekulam hinicham Hashem al ha'teva. The difference with all other creations is literally HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given them over to nature. Lo kein ha'adam sha'al yedei nafsha ha'alokiyas hina'ala min ha'teva. So what the Malbim is essentially describing over here is what separates man from all other creations? Hashgacha pratis. What does hashgacha pratis mean? Divine providence. What does divine providence mean? That God is actively involved in each of our lives. He's actively involved. The Ribono Shel Olam is actively involved in every single detail of my existence. Now, you might love your dog or you might love your cat, and some people actually treat them like members of the family. A little bit strange, but that's a different discussion. Right? So the idea over here is, but no matter how much you love your pet, there's one thing your pet does not have, which is Hashgacha Pratis. The Ribono Shel Olam is not involved in the life of your dog. It doesn't matter how much you love him. It doesn't matter how long you've had him. The Ribono Shel Olam, what's going to happen to your dog? Whatever the Ribono Shel Olam programmed in nature. Now, I want to be clear. The Ribono Shel Olam programs nature, and he programs nature every single day. So technically, Ribono Shel Olam is involved in nature, which means he's involved in the life of your dog. The idea is that if your dog is in trouble, the Ribono Shel Olam is not going to swoop in to save him. The Ribono Shel Olam is not going to change the laws of nature for him. The Ribono Shel Olam is not going to actively insert himself into the life of animals. Just the way it is, says the Malbim. And therefore, again, herein lies the fundamental distinction between man and animal. Both are alive. Even animal, the Ramban brings down, has a nefesh, has anything that's living and breathing, has some spark of the divine within it, because there is no life without a spark of the divine, but there is no hashgacha pratis except by man. So the Malbim goes on. He says, Therefore, man, because he is privileged to live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in every single detail of his life, therefore he must try to lift himself up above nature. Al yadam yikarev ha'elokim v'yim shochalav hashav alokis hashkochis ki amasim ha'eya leishlem skulazos lahamshich alav chol hashefa ha'elokis udevekos haruchonis. So says the Malbim something amazing. If we accept the premise that man has hashkocha pratis, divine involvement in every detail of his life, that animals do not have. Therefore, by definition, I have to figure out a way to raise myself above the animal kingdom. How do I raise myself above the natural world, recognizing that I'm separate, and although I'm a part of the natural world, I am separate and distinct from the natural world? He says, that's through mitzvos. Ad shenaf shol tashuv lios imena elyonim, v'tashuv achakach ela eden hanitzchi l'chai olam. V'zeh chesed miyuchad el min ha'adam. V'zeh she'amar mayakar chastacha elokim chesed ze yakar ma'od. Sha'ayoker hu shemitziuso ma'at. Something is expensive. He understands it as expensive, as precious. But something is expensive or precious when? When it's in limited supply or limited quality. V'hu ki b'nei adam betzel kanafecha yechasayun yamlitz shakal anevroim nesunin elateva zulas min ha'adam tidbak bo ha'ashkacha kinesher agozalav yirachev. Says the Malbim so beautifully. Mayakar chastacha elokim. So what, Kosherach, you've given us the most beautiful chesed. What is the most precious chesed that God has conferred upon mankind? Hashkacha pratis. That the Ribono Shel Olam chooses to be involved in every single detail of our life. Something that he does not give to any other creation. You understand like the privilege of that? The privilege of that, that the Melech Malchei HaMelechim chooses to be actively involved and actively present in every single detail of our life. That's why, and it's this week's parasha, Kiddushim Tiyu, the concept of Kiddusha means a person has to sanctify themselves in every single area of life. That's why, again, we have Judaism governs every aspect of our life. It governs our business lives. It governs our intimate lives. It governs everything. Why? Because Hashkacha Pratis means that the Ribono Shel Olam is actively involved in every single part of my life. That is the greatest chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has conferred upon us. Mayakar Chastachan, Devar HaMelech goes on. He spells it out. What is the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu confers upon us? Ubnei Adam Betzel Kenafecha Yechasayun. That's what? That man takes shelter in the shadow of his wings. Now, it's interesting. What does it mean, wings? What's the image that David HaMelech is trying to paint? So beautifully, says the Malbim, he's trying to paint an image of a bird, a mother bird, in the nest with her chicks. So where are the chicks? The Ribono Shel Olam is the mother bird. And just like the mother spreads out her wings to watch over her young, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. And just like the mother, especially when the child is young, is actively involved in every detail of the child's life. Some mothers retain that posture even as their children get older. But just like again, the mother is actively involved and needs to be actively involved in every single detail of the child's life as the child is growing and maturing. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us as well. The difference is that hopefully our children are able to leave the nest. We want them to leave the nest. The greatest accomplishment for a parent is when the child does leave the nest. The amazing part is that we never leave the nest of the Ribono Shel Olam. We are always children for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He always keeps us under his wing until ultimately we leave this world. And when we leave this world, we don't go further, but rather we just come a little bit closer. That's the greatest chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives for us. He watches over us and is involved in our lives every single moment of our lives, in every single aspect of our lives. We take refuge in his wing. We take refuge in his nest. He's there for us, involved in every single part of our journey in life. And again, only as when we leave this world, the journey just brings us a little bit closer, just brings us even to a smaller nest, just brings us even a little bit closer underneath his wing. That's the Malbim. Take a look at number four. Rav Hirsch takes this a little bit differently. The truth is, I'm just going to tell you Rav Hirsch outside. Actually, now look at it inside. Rav Hirsch writes, "How precious, how valued, how significant and important for the welfare of mankind is the love which God gives it in his capacity as Elohim, the judge of all the deeds of men. This is the loving kindness composed of tzedakah and mishpat, in which God's emunah, his faithful discipline, shows itself to man. This emunah is a manifestation of God's love, regardless of whether it takes on the form of tzedakah, granting or preserving, or that of mishpat, taking and withholding. Therefore, it is expressed so significantly by the tetragrammaton, which is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is written with the vowels of and pronounced, that's the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, as Elak Elokim. It is always the same God and always the same loving kindness. It is actually Midas HaRachamim that appears as Midas HaDin. Ubnei Adam, the children of men can find faith for their future only under the wings of this great love, which is woven from the threads of both tzedakah and mishpat. Now, what is Rav Hirsch picking up on? Rav Hirsch is picking up on something very interesting, which interesting enough no one else comments on. Rav Hirsch says, the pasuk says, "Mayakar chastecha Elokim." Now, remember, different names of God refer to different divine attributes. Elokim refers to judgment, the God of Din. So, Rav Hirsch is intrigued by this. "Mayakar chastecha Elokim." If you're talking about the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why are you using the name of God as Elokim? Chesed means kindness. Elokim means judgment. To which Rav Hirsch says, David HaMelech is telling us that what? They are one in the same. Chesed and Elokim, chesed and din, kindness and judgment all emanate from the same God. Understand that one of the greatest theological complexities that all religions face is the notion that we want to believe in a loving God, but then how do you deal with divine punishment? So for example, in Christianity, how does Christianity deal with this? That's the concept of Satan. So Satan is the source of evil, right? And again, Satan has control. He's even able to shtare. He's even able to undermine God's plan. We believe in a Satan, but we believe as a Satan that's an appendage of the Ribono Shel Olam, not something independent. The greatest difficulty that we have theologically is we believe that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So every single thing, every bracha and every sickness, every accomplishment and every setback, everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what we strive to understand is that since it all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it must mean that what? Everything is a chesed. Everything is a kindness. Just sometimes kindness is apparent and obvious, and other times kindness comes across as justice and difficulty and sadness and tragedy, but the kindness somehow is still there, laced in, just sometimes underneath many layers of pain. And therefore, Rav Hirsch says, that's the idea. Mayakar chastecha Elokim, purposely juxtaposing the notion of chesed to Elohim, representing ultimately that they all emanate from the same source, and they are all Midas HaRachamim, they are all compassion, just sometimes packaged in different ways. So again, so far, remember, we've seen that in this just one line, and the amazing part is I'm saying, you really, in Tehillim, you could spend years on one kapitel. So this is only one line in Perek Lamed Vav. What David HaMelech is teaching us is a number of very important lessons. Number one, according to the Radak so far, that although chesed sometimes is given to the wicked in this world, the most precious form of chesed, eternal chesed, will be reserved for the righteous in the world to come. The Malbim, David HaMelech is addressing, why should we believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why should I do his mitzvos? Why? To which David HaMelech says, because there's a unique chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has conveyed upon us, Hashgacha Pratis. He's involved in our life. If the Ribono Shel Olam has set us aside from the rest of the natural world, then it behooves us to elevate ourselves above the natural world. How do we elevate ourselves above the natural world? That's through our mitzvos. It's through Torah that separates us from the natural world and allows us to experience, to feel, and to appreciate the hashkacha, the divine providence that is part of our everyday lives. Rav Hirsch, David HaMelech, again, is stressing to us a very important theological lesson. He's juxtaposing Mayakar Chastecha Elokim, Chesed, Din, all comes from the same God, and at the end of the day, all of it is only there to bring us closer underneath the divine wing. I want to spend our remaining time on one last approach. Take a look at number 5. So this is a beautiful Gemara, Maseches Sukkah. So the Gemara writes, Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar said, Godol ha'oseh tzedakah, yoseh mikala karbanos. Tzedakah is even greater than karbanos, than all other karbanos you could bring. Shene emar, aseh tzedakah mishpat, nivchar la'ashem mizavach. Because he who does tzedakah, charity, kindness, and mishpat, justice, is more beloved or chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu mizevach from karbanos. So a person who gives tzedakah, even better than giving karbanos. Avraham Belazar, gedola gemilas chasodim yoseh minat tzedakah. The truth is, as great as tzedakah is, more tzedakah is better than karbanos, even better than tzedakah is what? chesed. Acts of charitable kindness are even greater than tzedakah. Why? Shene'emar, zaru lachem letzedakah, v'katzu lefi chesed. Because the pasuk says, literally, sow for yourself with tzedakah, but reap in accordance with chesed. Im adam zorah, if a person sows seeds, person plants, safek ochal, safek ina ochal. So a person plants seeds, they don't know if what they plant is going to sprout or not. However, adam kotzer, when a person goes ahead and reaps, then ultimately, again, they certainly will eat. So the fact that the pasuk compares tzedakah to planting, because you don't know, is your tzedakah going to accomplish what you want it to accomplish or not? But when it comes to chesed, you do a kind act for someone. By definition, you've done something that's like reaping the produce. V'amr Rabbi Elazar, ein tzedakah mishtalemes. Let's actually skip down a little bit. Tanu Rabbanan. I'm now four lines in, last three words on the line, right after the period. Tanu Rabbanan. Bishlosha devarim gidola gemilach chesed yoser minat tzedakah. This is a very beautiful idea. In three ways, chesed is greater than tzedakah. Chesed, acts of charitable kindness, are greater than charity. How so? Tzedakah b'mamono. Tzedakah you fulfill with your money. Gemilas chasadim bein begufo mein b'mamono. But chesed one could perform with their body or with their money. Tzedakah la'aniyim. The mitzvah of tzedakah only applies to the poor. Gemilas chasadim bein la'aniyim bein la'ashirim. Chesed, on the other hand, can be done for the poor as well as for the rich. Tzedakah l'chaim, charity can only be given to the living. Gemilas chasadim bein l'chaim bein l'meisim. Acts of kindness can be given both to the living as well as to the dead. Listen to this. Va'amar Rabbi Elazar, kolo oset tzedakah u'mishpat, ki'ilo mila kolo olam kula, milei kolo olam kula chesed. Now, I want to translate this phrase in a very specific way. I didn't put it on your sheet, but in number six, the Ben Yoyada was the chief rabbi of Baghdad in the 1800s. So he wrote, the Ben Yoyada's name of his sefer, on Agadat, on homiletic pieces of the Gemara. So he says that the way to translate this phrase is the following. Kala oset tzedakah im mishpat. Whoever does tzedakah with mishpat, which means that whoever does tzedakah correctly, whoever does tzedakah in the way that it's supposed to be done, then what? Ki ilu milei kala ula olam kulo chesed. And here's what's interesting. Now, the Gemara just spent time teaching us that what? That chesed is even better than tzedakah. Because ultimately, again, chesed, again, is all the reasons that we just said before. But now the Gemara is saying that if you go ahead and you perform the mitzvah of tzedakah appropriately, it's as if you fill the entire world with chesed. Shene emar, ohev tzedakah u'mishpat, chesed Hashem mala aretz. Now look at this last line. Shema tomar, kol haba likpotz kofes. So maybe you'll say, therefore, now we're just going to translate the words. We'll have to figure out what they mean in just a moment. So maybe you'll say, whoever wants to jump on this mitzvah should jump on this mitzvah. Talmud lomar, mayakar chastecha Elokim. So this is very interesting. Therefore, the pasuk says, how precious or rare is real chesed. So what does this mean? So Rashi number 7 has an interesting interpretation. Rashi says, Shema kalaba likbots, v'la'asos tzedakah, v'chesed kovetz, u'maspikin u'mamtsin lo anashim u'ganam l'kach. So you might think to yourself, well, now that I found out that tzedakah is so important, I'm just going to give tzedakah all the time. I'm going to give tzedakah to everything. I'm going to jump on every opportunity. Any person who comes, I'm going to give them. So just know, Talmud Lomar, mayakar. It's not easy to fulfill the real mitzvah of chesed, the mitzvah of tzedakah. Tzarech lasei slave, v'litroach, v'lirdof achareha, l'fi she'ena mitzuya tamid, l'zakos bala mehuganim. So Rashi says something amazing. I might have thought the Gemara says that because tzedakah is so wonderful and so important, and if you give tzedakah and fill the world with chesed, that you should just give to anyone and everyone. Therefore the pasuk says, mayakar chastecha. Finding the real opportunity for chesed is what? Very rare and very precious. Why? Because unfortunately, there are many unscrupulous individuals out there. And just because someone asks, a person has to make sure that what they're giving to, ultimately, again, is appropriate. That's how Rashi understands it. There's a lot to talk about, by the way, on that particular topic. This is because this idea of giving what's appropriate to, so people often assume that that means is that I'm going to give to causes I believe in. So that's not what giving appropriately means. If you don't hashkafically identify with something, doesn't mean that you should not give to that particular cause. You know, there's a mashal that's give. Well, it's not halachos tzedakah. We'll come back to that. In any event, what Rashi's referring to over here is unscrupulous individuals. Rashi's saying what the Gemara is saying is, you might think just give without investigation, without thinking about it. Therefore, the Gemara says, be careful. Mayakar chasticha, true chesed, true legitimate chesed, true legitimate tzedakah is not always easy to come by. Sometimes you have to investigate a little bit because, again, unfortunately, there are unscrupulous individuals. Just as an aside, if you take a look at number 8, we're not going to do this inside, but the Rashba asks a very interesting question. The Rashba says, why is it that we don't make a bracha on tzedakah? Why do they make a bracha on tzedakah? Right? Somebody comes to me, I'm going to give them tzedakah. Why not go ahead and make the bracha of Asher Kishon Mitzvah Tzivanu Am Mitzvah Tzedakah? Why not? Truth is, there's a simple answer. The simple answer is... So those are the two more complex answers. There's a simpler answer. Because you're going to protract an uncomfortable process. Because it's uncomfortable for a person to ask. It's uncomfortable for them to extend their hand to you. So you're going to start washing your hands, getting your hat and jacket, and start chuckling and saying, so you can't do that. You can't protract an uncomfortable situation for an individual. Someone has to ask. It's difficult to ask, or at least it should be difficult for a person to ask. It should be uncomfortable, meaning not because you're making it, not because you, the giver, are making it uncomfortable, because a person should have enough of a sense of self that having to ask for anything is a difficult thing. Why should I protract an uncomfortable circumstance? But again, the answer the Rashba gives is because the person might not accept the money. I might offer the money to the ani, and the ani might say, no, thank you. In which case, I can't make the bracha. The other is, based on what we just learned, which is that the mitzvah of tzedakah is, you know, this is an interesting halachic question in general. Let's say I separated out meiser from my income, and I gave it to organization A, and right after my check cleared, what do I find out? What's on the front line, right front page? It was a fraud. It's an interesting halachic question. Have I fulfilled the mitzvah of tzedakah? And the truth is, the technical answer is no. No, because remember again, the mitzvah of tzedakah is to help people. And this is a very scary thing because again, I would suggest klape shmai in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ibon Shalom knows that I wanted to do the right thing. And it's very nice to want to do the right thing, but at the end of the day, the mitzvah of tzedakah is to use your money to help people. If you didn't help people in the end of the day, then technically speaking, that's not the mitzvah of tzedakah. So therefore, again, he goes over here, this Rav Yaakov Yehuda Aishmi Prag. This particular Rav, he answered, in the Sefer Kerem Shlomo, he answered this idea that you can't make a bracha on tzedakah, because at the end of the day, you never know 1,000% if something is legitimate or it's not legitimate, and therefore again, and even if sometimes I know it is legitimate, sometimes I don't know it's legitimate, because there's always the question about legitimacy sometimes, therefore the Maisa, no bracha. So that's how Rashi chooses to understand it. The Marsha in number 9 chooses to understand it a little bit differently. Actually, you know what? We're going to skip 9 for just a moment, and we're going to go to number 10. So Rav Tzadik HaKohen of Lublin understands this idea differently. He says, listen to this, just to give you a little bit of biographical background. So Rav Tzadik HaKohen of Lublin was born in 1823 and lived till 1900. Rav Tzadik HaKohen of Lublin was from a non-Hasidic family, actually a family of Lithuanian origin, great Talmidei Chachamim. He became a Talmud of Rav Mordechai Yitzchak Leiner, the Ishbitzer. And that ultimately, again, introduced him into Hasidus. I'll tell you something amazing. He never accepted a rabbinical post. He did not want his money to come from the community, because if money comes from the community, then a person often feels that they're beholden. He wanted to maintain a level of financial independence. So this is amazing. He only accepted a rabbinical post in 1888, which is 12 years before he died. Until that time, he managed a used clothing store with his wife. It's an amazing thing. I'm just telling you this because people often think that having a profession is like an out for becoming great in Torah. It's not true. No matter what you do in life, you do work, you don't work, you work a lot, you work a little, no matter what other responsibilities you have in this world, after 120, the Ribbono Shel Olam has the same question for all of us, which is, why weren't you greater? And we were great, but why weren't you greater? And lest you think that you're ready with your excuses because I had to do this, I had to do that, there's always someone who had more to do than you, and there's always someone who became greater as well. So it's an incredible, when you learn about these people and you realize that with all the different things, managing a used clothing store, can you imagine walking into the clothing store and seeing the Rav Tzadik HaKohen standing there, what could I help you with? But yet again, he became a Gadol Bator. It's amazing. So in any event, Rav Tzadik HaKohen writes in number 10, V'ikir HaChesed, and this is a very important idea, V'ikir HaChesed Eino Be'inyone HaGuf. Listen to what he writes. So Rav Tzadik HaKohen writes that the Ikar of Chesed is not what you physically do for someone. V'Avraham Avinu Alav HaShalom, where does he get this from? Because remember, the paradigm of Chesed is Avraham Avinu. What did Avraham Avinu do? Shenatol Eishel, Lahach Yelichol Bay Olam. Avraham Avinu planted his Eishel, right? He made his inn, whatever Eishel is, whether it's an orchard or whether it's an inn. The point is he made a rest stop. He made a rest stop that people could come and eat. He said, L'chol Bay, Iker Kavan Asa Hayam HaShenemar, Vayikra B'Shem HaShem, Shelimdom Derech HaShem, Ulevarech HaShem, Kimok Sha'amru Zal B'Medrash. I quoted the Medrash over here for you in number 11. Just very quickly, the Medrash writes, people would come to Avraham Avinu's inn, he would feed them, he would give them to drink, and after the end, they would want to thank him. And Avraham Avinu would say, of course, famous Medrash, don't thank me, but thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu who gave us all of this. So they would say, so what happened? Take a look at the last two lines of number 11. Amar lun brichu, v'hein amrin ma'neimor. See, Avraham Avinu would say, you should bless God. And his visitors would say, how do we do that? V'amar lahem, baruch kel olam, sha'achalnu mishalo. Right, it sounds a little bit familiar. We use this same verbiage, amazingly enough, in the Zimun, in the Mezumun. Right, so Avraham Avinu used to tell the people there, it's very simple, just repeat after me, Baruch Kel Olam, blessed are you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the God of the universe, Sha'achalnu mishalo, that we ate of your food. So what Rav Tzadik HaKohen is pointing out over here is that Avraham Avinu understood that the real essence of Chesed is not just to take care of somebody's body, but it's to take care of their neshama, to take care of their soul. That is the highest form of chesed. And he goes on, he says, Yochol tchim asharam basukah, yochol kolarotze likbots, Talmud lomar, mayokar chasticha. So Rav Tzadik HaKohen says, this is the meaning of the pasuk, of how precious is your chesed. Hainu, dagmilos chasodim laguf ikaro, kishayase al yidei ze chesed im nafsho ke'avram avinu, veze nikra, Chastocha Elokim, v'zeh yikar d'zeh chesed Hashem. Listen to what Rav Tzadik HaKohen says so beautifully. Rav Tzadik HaKohen says, you know what the pshat in the pasuk, and again, he's borrowing from the Gemara. What does it mean? Mayakar Chastocha Elokim. He says the greatest chesed, the most precious of chesed, is when you lift up the neshama of the individual. Because when you lift up the neshama of the individual, what are you doing? You're bringing them closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the pasuk says, Adam betzel ubnei Adam betzel k'nefech al yachasayun. The greatest chesed you do for a person is not just taking care of their body. The greatest chesed you do for them is lifting up and taking care of their soul. Mayakar chasticha, the most precious form of chesed, says Rav Tzadik HaKohen, is when you bring a person closer underneath the wing of the Shekhinah. Now remember, Tzadik HaKohen is referring to a very specific type of circumstance. He's using Avraham Avinu literally as the paradigm, where Avraham Avinu used physical chesed. Avraham Avinu brought people into his home, Hachnasas Orchim. He gave them to eat, but he used that act of physical chesed as a springboard to lift a person up. So says Rav Tzadik HaKohen, that is the most, and that's what he says, he posits, that's what Avraham Avinu is referring to. The most precious form of chesed, this is regular chesed, and regular chesed is wonderful. And what is regular chesed? Regular chesed is when you do something physical for another individual. And that's beautiful, and that's wonderful, and we cannot minimize the impact of that. But the most precious form of chesed is ultimately when you not just help the body, but when you lift up the soul. But I think we could take this one step further in the remaining couple of minutes that we have. Because this idea, when Rav Tzadik HaKohen speaks about lifting up the soul, he means quite literally bringing a person closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But perhaps chesed that lifts up the soul could also be understood in a different way. Take a look at number 12. This is a beautiful piece. This is in Parshas Chayisara, where Eliezer sets out to find a wife for Yitzchak Avinu. So remember, Eliezer devises a very interesting plan. Number 12. Va'avo yom ala'ayin, va'omar Hashem Elokei Adoni Abraham, im yeshchana matzliach tarki, asher ani aholeich aleha. Hine anochi nitzal al inamayim, v'haya amaha yotzeis esho, v'amarti ala yashkin namat ma'amikadech. So Eliezer devises a plan. What's the plan? I'm going to go to the well. Remember again, So in biblical times, the well is where you went, right? The well was the place to be if you wanted to meet someone. So what happens? So Eliezer goes to the well. Eliezer goes to the well and he says, look, he says, here's the plan. A girl's going to come out. I'm just going to ask her, could I have something to drink? And if Shashkina Machmai Kedech, but actually I want to be careful with the words. He's going to ask her, could I have something to drink from your jug? Mikadech, from your jug. Va'amra Eli, Gamatasha say, Vigamigmalecha Eshav. And if she says to me, sure, let me give you to drink, and also give to your camels to drink, he aha isha ben Adoni. This is the woman, this is the girl that is chosen for Yitzchak Avinu. So if you take this back for a moment, so what is Eliezer looking for? What is he looking for in a wife for Yitzchak? A balas chesed. Now that's what everyone answers. But the truth is, it's not really correct. And I'll tell you why. If a girl would have come out and just said to Eliezer, Eliezer would have asked her for a drink, and she would have said yes, but she wouldn't have offered the camels to drink, does that make her less of a balas chesed? Meaning, you understand, like, how much camels drink? I mean, I don't know how much camels drink, but they drink a lot. Eliezer is not just there with a camel, or like with a baby camel, or with a little camel. You know, he's there with camels, plural. I don't know if they drink a lot. So the expectation that someone is going to come out and offer to water your flock of camels is ridiculous. I would even take it a step further. I would say that somebody who offers that maybe is not even fully there. Why are you offering that? That's not chesed. I mean, that's crazy. You understand, there is a limit to chesed as well, right? Meaning, if your chesed has to have boundaries. You know, it's interesting. I just want to point out that, you know, the word chesed means kindness, and it also means what? It also means immorality. Immorality. Isn't that interesting? Why? How could the same word for kindness and immorality be the same word? It's very simple. Because kindness is giving to people. Immorality means giving to too many people too often, right? So the idea over here is because giving without boundaries, giving without a framework, ultimately is exceptionally destructive. So what do you mean? You have an expectation of this girl that she's going to go ahead and water your, and me, you don't know how old she is, how young she is, she's going to water your entire flock? It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. So what's going on over here? So there's an amazing Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi writes in number 13, he says, V'hayoha na'ara asher omar ele hagmi'ini no'amat mayim mikadech v'gam gemalecha osal chachta. So the Beis Halevi says, the truth is, Eliezer formulates this. It's interesting. Remember, Eliezer does this on his own. Avraham Avinu does not give Eliezer the criteria for finding a wife for Yitzchak. All Avraham Avinu told Eliezer was, go back to my hometown. Eliezer is on his own to figure out who the next matriarch should be, which is amazing by itself. It shows you almost also how much Avraham trusted Eliezer, that he understood the quality of a woman that he had to bring back for Yitzchak. So Eliezer formulated this test with Chachma. Watch this. Ki rotza l'nasos osam b'chala mido shela im tovos heina v'im hei b'ashala. He needed someone who had seichel. What does this mean? Rishona im tovehi b'mazga litein lishtos li'ish she'ina makeres oso. Or beprat ki lo haya sham tzluches lishav min akad rak shesei min akad ba'atzmo. U'kimo shamra hag mi'im na'matai. Let me tell you this outside, just, and then we'll look inside a little bit. Eliezer says like this. I'm going to go over to the girl. I'm going to ask her to drink. But if you notice, he doesn't just say, I want to drink. What does he ask her to? What does he ask her for? I want to drink from your jug. Now, you know, imagine you have a bottle of water and someone stops you and says, could I have a drink? He says, sure, you have a cup. And they say, no, can I just take a quick sip from your bottle? I mean, I'm happy to do chesed, but no thank you, right? Or the truth is, maybe I just give them the bottle and say, thanks, I have another, right? You know, so Eliezer is going to go over to this girl and say, I'd like to take a drink from your jug. So first thing Eliezer wants to see is she going to give him to drink? So fine, she gives him to drink. But then here's the question. Now the strange guy just came over to you, asked you to drink from your jug. Now the question is what? What do you do with the rest of the water? Because you have two options. Option number one is you could take it home and use it. Now, that's not really an option because that's what we call disgusting, right? And again, some guy you don't know just drank from the jug If you're going to bring it home and now use it for your family, you use it for yourself, that's disgusting. You're not going to do that. So what's the other option? Spill it out. But if you spill it out, then what happens? Then it's insulting. Then the stranger came along and you gave him a drink and then you spill. And remember again, this is not a faucet. Right? I just want to be clear. Right? This is a well. Right? And I don't mean like if somebody has a well in their backyard that pumps water into your kitchen. Right? This is a well that you have to lower the bucket. That this is tircha. This is effort. So if she spills it out, it's going to be embarrassing for him. So the Ezer already says, I know the right girl is going to be able to do chesed, but chesed with sensitivity. So what's her out? What could she do? To take the water home is not an option, because who's going to use that water? The strange guy just drank from. To pour it out on the ground is not nice to him. But what could she do with the water? She could offer to give it to the animals. Says the Beis Halevi, the expectation was never for a girl to give to the entire flock of camels. That's ridiculous. What Eliezer was looking for was a girl who, after he drinks from the jug, realizes the chachma, she's not taking it home, but has the sensitivity not to spill it out. So what is she going to do? Excuse me, sir, your camels must be thirsty. Can I pour this water into the trough for them? Thereby accomplishing chesed, but accomplishing chesed with sensitivity. Says the Beis Halevi, it is easy to do chesed. It's fun to do chesed. It's nice to do chesed. But all too often, chesed, kindness, happens without true regard for the feelings of the other. Chesed is only meaningful if it is accompanied and laced with constant sensitivity. So to plug this back, and that's ultimately, Eliezer says, if I could find this girl who ultimately is a balas chesed, but a balas chesed with seichel, a balas chesed with sensitivity, then this is the next matriarch. Then this is the next of the emos. So if we plug this back, perhaps what Rav Tzadok HaKohen is also saying is like this. When David HaMelech says, Mayakar chastachas, remember what Rav Tzadok say? That the highest form of chesed is when you go ahead and you lift up not just the person's body, but you lift up their neshama. So yes, one way of doing it is actually bringing them closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you know, there's another way to lift up a person's neshama, even without actively bringing them close to God, and that's how? Doing chesed for them in a way that allows them to still feel good about themselves. That's also how you lift up someone's neshama. Doing chesed in a way that allows a person to retain their sense of self. Because, you know, it's not easy to be on the receiving end. It's not easy to be a recipient. It's not easy to be compromised to the fact that you have to rely on others. And when a person could provide all the most wonderful physical needs, but yet, again, not lift up the individual. The goal, the true goal of chesed is take care of their body, but just as important as taking care of their body, just as important as taking care of their physical needs, is nourishing and lifting up their neshama. Either, like Rav Tzadok HaKohen said, actively bringing them closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I think the more common situation is making sure that you help them in a way that still preserves their sense of self, allowing them ultimately, again, to be helped physically, while at the same time still having their neshama uplifted and allowing them to feel whole, allowing them to feel complete. So if we bring this all together, again, what's amazing from this little phrase in Tehillim comes such amazing life lessons. So again, Mayakar Chastecha, what is this precious chesed that David HaMelech is referring to? Approach number one was the Radak, it's the chesed in the afterlife. That chesed is eternal, and that chesed is only given to those who ultimately deserve it. According to the Malbim, David HaMelech is making the cogent argument as to why we have to perform our mitzvos bein Adam l'makom, since the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides for us is Hashkacha Pratis. He's intimately and intricately involved in every single detail of our life, therefore we must raise ourselves above the rest of the natural world. And how do we do that? We do that through our mitzvos, all to reciprocate the beautiful chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to us, that we forever, until 120 in this world, and then even afterwards, are privileged to be the chicks in the divine nest. We saw again Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch, who explained that the entire essence, Mayakar Chastecha Elokim, chesed and din, all come from the same God. The take-home message being, really, everything is chesed. Just sometimes chesed looks like chesed, sometimes chesed looks like din, but at its core, everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does and serves us and gives us ultimately is for chesed. And then the last approach ultimately was the Gemara explaining that true chesed is very hard to come by in this world. Either according to Rashi, because unfortunately there are unscrupulous individuals, or really according to Rav Tzadok HaKohen, teaches us that mayakar chastecha, the reason why chesed is hard to come by is because all too often we think that chesed is just about helping the person physically, but true chesed is about helping the person's body, but also helping their soul. David HaMelech says, such chesed like that is so precious, is so difficult, is so hard to come by. But says, Rav Tzadik HaKohen of Lublin, says ultimately the Beis Halevi, that's the chesed, that chesed yakar, that expensive, that precious chesed, that's the chesed that brings not just the recipient, but brings the doer, the grantor, closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu also, to strive to become Baalei Chesed, who want not just to help a person physically, but want to help a person grow in their ruchnius, want to help a person, more importantly, preserve and sustain their sense of self, want to help while still allowing a person to feel good and secure about who and what they are. That is truly my yakar chastecha. That is the highest form of chesed. And here's the amazing part, with this we'll conclude. If a person is able to become that level of ba'al or ba'alas chesed, to provide that chesed for the guf as well as for the soul of the person, the reward for such an individual like that is ubnei adam b'tzel kanafecha yechasayun. If you provide that right kind of chesed for a person that lifts up their body and lifts up their soul, then ultimately, you know, bnei adam is plural. Bnei adam means it's not just the person who you help who will live in the shadow of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wings, but rather it's you who do that kind of chesed also. You, together with the person who you help, both of you will find a place underneath the wings of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All right, we'll stop over here for today.